a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled. Is it Wednesday? It's a Wednesday. You know how I know? Because the Eagles are already warming up out here in the at Vivint Arena. It's their 2022 Hotel
no
California
peeking.
Tour.
I was chided. No peeking at the sound check, Alex.
I was chided. I'm walking through the arena, walking up, and this guy,
boy,
I didn't even peek. I was not peeking. I wasn't planning on peeking. But now I want to peek.
You look like a peeker.
Now I'm going to peek, dude.
Yeah, you're kind of a peeker.
The guy stopped me. I'm just walking into a studio over here, and he goes, excuse me. I was like, yeah. He goes, no peeking. And I was like, well, I didn't. He goes, no, I'm just letting you know. They don't like people to peek in on it, and it's strictly forbidden. I said, okay. He said, what are you doing here? I go, I'm working. Where do you work? Because I go, right over here. I'm doing the Zone Sports Network. We're doing the afternoon show. Unrivaled. Come on. I know you're a listener. And I said, and you guys are 100%, you can totally come and peek on us.
You can peek.
And he's like, I don't have time for that. I was like, all right, well, you've wasted my time, but I hear Don Henley warming up the pipes out there. Do you think it's really him?
Well, who else is it going to be?
No, I'm just like, do they press play? Do they have a guy who they
that
bring on?
That sounds like a real person.
Do they have a roadie who sounds like...
No. They do have stand-ins, like though, for
the instruments.
For blocking for live television shows?
Yes.
Like they have actors and actresses.
Yeah.
They're stand-ins.
Yeah.
Make a couple $100,000 a year.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Couple $100,000 a year to stand there?
To stand there. Because they got to block out scenes,
well,
right?
I'll sing like Don Henley for a couple $100,000 a year. No problem.
No, you just have to stand there. You don't have to sing.
I'll do the singing for free. Yeah. No?
They may fire you.
That might actually be a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got lots going on with the show. We're going to kick things off, as we always do. Oh, by the way, Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, we make up Unrivaled, and we got it in the works. We're working on Maverick Top Gun, like a full date night with the whole station. We're gonna buy some ice cream for each other, charge it to Nate, and then walk away from the whole thing and be better people for it. So that's what we're planning on. We're gonna try to get this thing done. Can a bunch of adults figure out how to watch a movie together as a company date? Can we make it work? We're just going to try to do it.
Yeah, it could be that awkward first date.
Oh, yeah.
That could be uncomfortable.
I'll hold your hand. I have no problem making that move.
So where did you grow up?
Like, what was your mom like? All right. We're taking a jump right in here on the program, and we're going to get right to the cut, as we always do on the program. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Cut, as usual, brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That is uofuhealth.org. Scottishwe.org. Scott, as we jump in here, you know, I was interested in this story because I don't really know what it means. As I started to dive in and I started looking at it and I go, okay, Donovan Mitchell says he's committed to the Jazz through the summer.
That's not even the start of the season.
No, I know. That's like, what I'm like. Is this
what does he mean by committed through the summer?
If someone says the word committed and then gives you a very short amount of time,
yeah.
If my wife called me and said, I'm committed to you at least through the summer, I would go, I'm feeling pretty nervous about this. I am absolutely scared about this.
Because maybe it's a statement that says, if you don't make changes, if things don't improve here, I'm out. So you've got the summer to figure this out. You got the draft. You got whatever. Free agency. Go figure it out. Otherwise, I'm going to be whiny crybaby NBA basketball superstar that's going to go where I want to go.
Well,
that's how they get.
Right.
And I hate that, just so you know.
Why?
Because, look, why do people have to get so mad to get things done? Why do you have to be a jerk? Why do you have to, like, you know, stand on the walls and scream and yell to get things done? You know, why can't
they shouldn't have to.
No, why can't people go, we're looking to do things the best way all the time? Well, I mean, wouldn't you feel like, isn't that a place
yeah,
you want
you know
to go to work?
Is.
You
no,
want to
okay.
be?
If we're going to, sometimes we try to pretend like an NBA superstar isn't the same kind of a stratosphere. Like, hey, you wouldn't do this at your work. And, of course, it wouldn't necessarily be the same. You know, the comparison's always bad because it's like you're talking about a singular person whose brand is as big as, you know, anything around this market when it comes to individuals and how much money they can produce and all these. In his case, the real thing that you should be worried about is the fact that the guy is under contract the next 4 years, but he said he's committed to you through the summer.
Through
this,
right. Yeah,
you go, well, no, I mean, we kind of have it on this sheet of paper. Are you saying you don't, like, there's going to be something that happens along the way to where you might actually say, I don't want to commit to you through the end of the summer? I don't want to commit to you starting? Through the summer is right on top of the basketball season. I mean, you're a couple of months removed from the start of the basketball season. And so what version of a commitment level from Donovan Mitchell is going to make you feel better? Is it going to be not saying anything at all? If he would have said nothing at all, I would have felt way better.
What?
Then this whole, oh, see, yeah. No, I'm committed through the end of the summer. It's like, you shouldn't have said anything because now everybody's freaked out. And maybe that's the shot across the bow thing. You know, when these reports come out, you go, and you've trained me in this, Scott, because there's always more than meets the eye. Somebody allows this message to go out.
Right.
Somebody from a side
by design
lets it get out there. Yeah. And there's no accidents. There's no mistakes. Very rarely is it like, oh, whoops, we didn't want to let the story get out. So how does a story like this get out? How does information like this get out? And what's the message? I'm trying to read between the lines.
You have a publicist. You have a marketer. You have people that go, okay, what's the story we're going to spin here? And they go to their outlets and they go, hey, I've got a story for you. You want to get it out there? Donovan Mitchell's like, whatever. I mean, that's how it all happens. It's not complicated.
What about just like guys in the entourage? You know, a couple of your buddies close to the best guys who yeah. say,
That's when you're not really sophisticated.
you got your
cousin or your uncle or your, you know, nephew or someone.
Bad thing is you're paying both of those.
And
groups.
You go, you know what I'm really tired of? You know, I'm tired of being second fiddle, blah, blah, blah. So that relative is like infuriated. So that relative goes out and says, man, my guy deserves
he's
to be.
He's not happy.
He is
he's
not happy.
Happy
this
man.
Is just like, I'm tired of all this stuff because my guy is the guy and he needs to be taken care of. Now, that's not as sophisticated, but probably every bit as effective, maybe even more effective.
You might be paying him more than a publicist, by the way.
Because it's not a narrative, right? It's just like a raw
feeling.
Exactly.
And a secondary kind of.
What's wrong with this, though, right here?
What?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
The Jazz had a strategy a year ago. They go, 2 years ago, you remember we were in Las Vegas and we sat in a press conference. They signed Mike Conley. They signed Boyan. Everyone was excited. The Jazz, you know, needed some more offense because they were really good defensively. They just weren't as good. They needed more offense. So, and they also needed a point guard. So they got it, right?
Yeah. And that was one of, by the way, that was like a massive coup. I say a coup, was like, it was a huge get for them.
They targeted Mike Connolly, and they tried to trade for him. They tried to do all these things.
They sold out on it.
They wanted him, right? They felt like this team was really close. You know, just get these pieces. And so this team was built to win a championship. They got in the bubble. They really gelled as a team. And then, boom, 2 years ago, they have the best record in the NBA. So everyone like, man, this plan worked. This is great. This team is really, really poised to win now. Everyone we talk to, all the insiders, this Jazz team is poised to win now. So the Jazz in the offseason, and I remember us having this conversation where we said, why does it feel like everyone else got better and the Jazz didn't? And it's like, and you just felt like the Warriors were going to be a better team. They were going to be healthier. You felt like Denver was going to be a good team. And I know they had injuries. You felt you felt like Dallas was going to be a better team. Memphis was going to be a better team. Phoenix was going to be a better team. And the Jazz made a decision. They said, we're doubling down, right? We like the team we are. We like who we are. And we're going to double down. And so what's so wrong with this? The Jazz took a swipe, right? A lot of things just felt like they had it in place. They took a swipe. They took a swing. They made a run. And guess what? They were wrong. They missed. And it's okay. I mean, because I think all of us felt like, hey, we're excited about this team. And it's just like, you know what? For whatever reason, and that's what sports is, all the parts didn't come together like we thought they would. The team didn't gel like we thought they would. The chemistry wasn't quite there. The talent level didn't match up with who we are. You know, we couldn't maximize our people, right? We couldn't get the most out of their skill sets. And we just missed. And I think it's one of those where Jazz fans don't need to like throw in the towel or everyone just, you know, overreact to this. It's just like, based on the information, the Jazz had a strategy and they felt like it was the best one, and it looked like it was the best one, and it wasn't. So you move on.
You know,
so you don't have to get into this, because what the Jazz feel like to me right now is there's this power struggle between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it necessarily has to be there. I'm just really curious to see what kind of impact Danny Ainge has. What kind of role does he have? What does this front office look like? How are they making decisions? How are they developed? What is their strategy moving forward? And how is that, you know, is it, do they try to acquire draft picks? Do they try to acquire players from trades? What are they doing? Because clearly what they did was not the right move.
So the idea is...
no harm, no foul. Let's move on.
So the idea is, you're telling everybody, hey, guess what? In sports, your franchise, more often than not, is actually not going to be a championship caliber team. There have to be moves that get made. I got an email today from a listener that said, hey, I can't imagine a world, a Jazz world, without Donovan and Rudy playing together on the court. And I'm going, well, you should, because those guys can. Those guys are the guys, and they can definitely picture themselves not playing for the Jazz probably.
You know, I hear
but
this.
But I know that feeling of don't break the team up. Emmett Smith, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Jay Novacek. I was like, never get rid of these guys.
I know that feeling.
Look up at the screen right now. Look, okay, in our studio, Steph Curry.
Yes.
Right? In this iteration of the Golden State Warriors, what's been fascinating with it is,
It
stayed together, and they might win a championship without Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And they might just—I mean—and so it's a bad thing for the regular fan who goes, "Well, Golden State—they just threw together a bunch of old guys who, you know, everybody thought wasn't going to be able to do it. They might win the NBA championship."
And the Warriors have gone through some rough times.
Yes.
You know, they've had their seasons. They've had their struggles. They've been pretty pathetic and. You know, when they get all the pieces and all of it together, it's the right thing. But look, when I was in Detroit, we had really good. I mean, when you talk about really good players, Barry Sanders, amazing. Herman Moore, amazing. Brett Perriman, amazing. Mm-hmm. Johnny Morton, amazing. Dave Sloan, our tight end, Pro Bowl tight end. Amazing. I mean, it was as talented a group of people as there were in the NFL. And you know what? Everyone felt like I need to be the most important person. And it wasn't a recognition of us together is so much more powerful than us apart. And guys just couldn't accept and be a part of that role.
Right.
And you see that with Donovan and Rudy. And I hate to see them really maybe mess up a really good thing and realize the grass isn't always greener. It's not a better scenario.
But these types of changes happen all the time, and we cannot imagine a team without X, Y, and Z players, right?
But Rudy Gobert is a good player. Donovan Mitchell,
amazing, right?
They're top players in the NBA. Why do you want to give them up?
It's not about giving them up. It's just about the fact that you might have hit the end of the road when it comes to what you've gotten out of these guys. Now there's just no version that they can cobble together of them being a championship team in Salt Lake. And Danny Ainge is not going to settle for anything less than putting a team that has a shot at a championship on the court in the next five seasons.
I think it's more of like, how do you create people around them to maximize their abilities and what they do? And I don't think it's Rudy and Donovan as much as it is the other guys that are a part of that team. That in order, if you're going to have a Rudy Gobert, you've got to have a different makeup of those wing defenders than what you have. If you're going to have a Donovan Mitchell, you're going to have someone, you know, that you know, maybe it's a better version of Mike Conley. I don't know.
I asked Gordy Chiesa this week, what's the position in 2022, 2023 that you're going to build your team around? Don't say a player, but like, hey, we have this solid center, point guard, shooting guard, and he goes, the wings, right?
Right.
Which is definitely what the Jazz, like, struggle and kind of hit and miss on these things, right?
Right.
Royce O'Neal was, you know, everybody thinks to themselves, that guy was not the answer,
yeah,
you know, this year. And
Royce O'Neal feels to me, though, like a guy that if he got on the right team, probably would do.
But that's supposed to be
well.
This case, right?
I know.
That's this team because it was basically custom molded. That position, that starting job was custom molded to him. Where else is he going to go and be a starting wing in the NBA?
I never felt like Royce O'Neal was this elite shutdown defender.
No, but he was definitely for a stretch of time the best defender on the wing that the Jazz had.
Right.
But was that just not saying much? Is that what?
Right.
Is that where we're at?
I just never saw it. I never saw this just elite defender.
I
saw a guy that, you know, gave great energy and great hustle and worked hard. But you know, does he just that lockdown guy? I never saw it.
Did you ever?
I saw a guy where teams would put him in a position where, all right, go make a basket, and he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to shoot.
Yeah, and by the end, it felt like he couldn't.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of folks see the makeup of this team. They see the story like this that comes out. And this isn't like Donovan saying the story is not Donovan Mitchell comes out and says, I'm going to commit to you through the end of the summer. The story was it looks like that Donovan Mitchell, Bradley Beal, they're both expected to remain committed to Washington and Utah respectively this summer, according to the Bleacher Report by Jake Fisher. And look, one of the names that came up was if there is a trade request that does actually come to the team, the Hawks could create a strong offer to any of those teams who might be willing to give up a Donovan Mitchell, Bradley Beal, whomever, right? And so I've heard a lot of the other shows talking about whether or not Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have been snubbed as All-NBA team guys. Why on earth would they be on the All-NBA team right now? Last year was a bit more of a head-scratcher for
yes.
me. Where we're like, okay, Donovan Mitchell, my heavens, that guy, best team in the league in the regular season, all-star guy, had a, you know, kind of broke the ceiling on what he's done in years past and doesn't get a sniff, right? But are there fans out there that really feel like Rudy and Donovan got snubbed as not being part of the All-NBA team? what All-NBA team is Rudy Gobert going to be on? Who is he going to replace at center on those All-NBA teams?
Or Donovan.
Or Donovan. It's just, first of all, there's one thing to be an All-Star. It's another to be All-Pro, right? The same thing. Like Pro Bowl in the NFL is way different than All-Pro.
Right.
We're talking the
absolute very best.
The top small, 11 dudes. Yeah,
small team.
Top
hard
11
to,
dudes
hard to get
on each
on
side of the
team.
Ball. It's very tough. And so I don't see why people are going, oh, they got snubbed. Did they get snubbed? No. Do you feel like that – was there something in the way that the season went, the way that the season ended, that made you think that those guys would have been all NBA performers? I just don't think so.
No, and when you're you're a five seed in the playoffs, and really you don't have any, like, who had just a dominant performance? Did Rudy Gobert in the playoffs? Did Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs? I mean Donovan. I'd say Donovan struggled. Period. This year, I mean, there were a lot of times. There were a lot of games. You know, there's nothing in the regular season performance of the Utah Jazz that just made you go, okay, those guys are just. I thought Rudy was better this year. I think Rudy has not reached his ceiling yet. I don't know where Donovan is. I don't know. Because I just didn't see the same growth in Donovan that maybe I've seen every year. If you recall, it's like every year in the playoffs, Donovan kind of reaches a new level. And just didn't do it this year.
I think a lot of people were waiting for that 45-point performance in there somewhere.
That sophomore slump kind of hit him in his fourth year.
No, you know what it was, Scott, is that in each of those – in that series, there was somebody else who was way better.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up until game four, right? And so Luka Doncic just played. And if it wasn't Luka Doncic, it was Jalen Brunson or Spencer Dinwiddie. My heavens. If you would have thought to yourself, yeah, Donovan's going to get outplayed by – not really outplayed, but maybe the guy who's going to take over and end up winning this game for their team is going to be Jalen Brunson or Spencer Dinwiddie. Right, compared to a Donovan Mitchell who you expect, who's actually already been there before.
The West is loaded with some really good teams, a lot of really good teams. I mean, just to make that All-NBA team just from the West, and the East as well. I mean, it's just hard. That's a pretty stiff competition.
We've got a lot of fun planned for the show. We've got a lot of guests. We're going to come back around the corner here. And Michelle Botkin, our Ute insider for KSLSports.com, is going to join us, talk a little bit about the Pac-12 dropping divisions, best teams in the title game. She also did a pretty interesting write-up about Utah in the New Year's six bowl games that they've been in. They've been in half of them. And that experience and what it means kind of going forward for this University of Utah team, she'll join us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell across from me, and I just don't know one person who really could give me an argument as to why Rudy and Donovan should be on the All-NBA first, second, or third team. especially when you see the list. LeBron's on the third team. LeBron led the league in scoring. LeBron James, probably the second best player in the history of the game, is on the All-NBA third team after leading the league in scoring, right? That scoring title. And he's the All-NBA third team. Where's their room? I'll tell you what's exciting for the NBA is that for the first time since 1954, the first team All-NBA squad is made up of guys who are all under the age of 27. That's good for this NBA, man. Going forward, these young guys are taking over.
You can't argue with any of those players.
So the second team any is of just a stat.
Jokic, Giannis, Doncic, Tatum, Booker.
That's your starting.
I mean, maybe NBA team. Booker. Maybe Booker might be. Maybe, but this is a team that had the best record in the NBA.
Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. He's not on the first team All NBA team this year.
What team's he on? Second?
I think he's second. Third team. I mean, the centers are. I mean, Joel Embiid is the second team All NBA center.
Yeah.
And the third team All NBA center is Karl Anthony Towns. Does Rudy Gobert jam into that mix of Jokic, Embiid, and Karl Anthony Towns right now at all?
He does when the Jazz have the best record in the NBA.
I mean, that's when he's been on the third team.
Right. That's what the Jazz. All NBA team. The Jazz really kind of messed it up this year. They really had a chance to kind of validate themselves, and they really.
Trying to like rip on these guys. What I'm saying is look at the freaking stacked talent in this league and what they're up against. And so it's no wonder right now that they don't feel like a championship team.
Yeah.
All right, joining us on the program right now. Sorry about the lamentation that I've gone on with here, but
lamentations.
That's what I've kind of gone with. So, joining us on the program, she's our Ute insider for KSLSports.com. She's Michelle Bodkin. Thanks for being with us on the show, Michelle. What's up?
Oh, just I've been outside pretty much all day, just enjoying the great weather.
Why would you do a thing like that?
It is amazing.
Well, you know, because it's supposed to be like winter again over Memorial Day.
Is it really?
Weekend, so, yeah, it's not going to be nice. No.
Cancel the golf. Cancel the golf. Well, we were just talking about that. We made the long walk from Broadcast House over here to Vivint, and we were just like, holy cow, just stay right here for the rest of our lives. So we're looking forward to an off season of talking about the Utes, the love and hate that comes in when you're this good of a team and you've got a lot of returning production. I mean, these preseason polls that just go back and forth and all those things, how much do you think that actually – how close are these polls that will put the Utes at a 4 or a 6 or a 9 or a 12? Where are they really when it stacks up to these other teams? Or is it just something we're never really going to know until those first college football rankings come out?
That's always such a fascinating argument, right? Because, like, I mean, we've sat in, you know, other teams in the past that have been preseason ranked, you know, whatever, and then they come in and they end up not being that good. And you go, why were you ranked that high?
Michigan, Texas, it's all the blue blood programs that have no business being there, but they just put them in there because their name is good.
Exactly. And I mean, with Utah, the question mark is, you know, they've never really been in that position before, like, yes, to end the season. But nobody has ever gone into a season with true confidence as to what exactly Utah brings and just how good they possibly can stack up and measure to. And part of it's because they aren't a name brand, at least not yet. I think they're working on it, and they've made some great strides towards that. But it becomes a question of what do you do with this team? Because, yes, on paper, they should be really, really good. They were really good last year, and they're returning a good chunk of what made them so good the year before. So it only makes sense that they're probably really good again. My guess is they'll probably end up being ranked probably close to where they finished the season, at number 9, number 12, number 9, somewhere in there. I don't know. I think they have to prove themselves before they kind of slide into that 6-5-4 spot. But I'm comfortable kind of anywhere, I think, between 9 and 12, which is where they ended last year. Seems reasonable to me, and it's a good building spot for a group like that. And knowing Kyle Whittingham, knowing Utah, they're probably going to take that as a slight flight, and it might be that little extra motivation because I know in the building they feel like they are a top four team.
Yeah, this is I think if USC hires anyone other than Lincoln Riley, because I think Lincoln Riley has at USC has impacted kind of where people feel about Utah. I think if Lincoln Riley doesn't get hired, they hire someone else. I think Utah is across the country maybe that top team because Lincoln Riley's brought some big time names, wide receivers from Pitt and Caleb Williams and Travis Dye he's brought some big time names into the program, and so I think that kind of you know, tempers a little bit about where Utah is, because Utah is a pretty complete team. You keep hearing about USC getting additions in the transfer portal. We were talking to Stanford's play-by-play guy, Scott Reese, and he's like, Stanford gets nobody. Like, everyone leaves Stanford, and they don't get anyone. Are you hearing anything? Are there any other additions? Are there any other subtractions from Utah at this point, you know, getting into the summer and heading into fall camp?
I still haven't heard anything specifically. I would have to imagine they probably have some guys on their radar that they would like to bring in for official visits starting in next month in June. I know a lot of them are high school kids. I would assume here and there there's probably like a JUCO or a transfer portal guy. My guess is because of how competitive the market is with NIL and some of that kind of stuff, if there is somebody on their radar, they're probably keeping it as under wraps as they can, doing those like ninja games. If you follow the Ute Zone board, they talk about ninja games all the time, where a guy kind of comes out of nowhere that Utah's been on for a while, and everybody wonders, you know, how nobody heard about it. I suspect there might be some of that going on. Again, have not heard anything specifically. I think we will start hearing a little bit more on that front in June, in July, as they do prepare to kind of get more focused towards turning their attention to fall camp and, of course, the season. As far as transfers out, I think they're probably done. There might be one or two more after fall camp that, you know, decide to part ways. But I think the biggest majority of the people that were going to leave have already left.
One of the guys that comes in and has all this pub around him, and I've gone back and watched some of the film when he was at Florida, and I think a lot of Utah fans are excited about Muhammad Diabate. And I've actually, in our 1660, I've got him in my top five just because I think that he, athlete-wise, is as good as anybody on that Ute defense. And am I totally insane for thinking, and not knowing much from him from spring because he's still kind of recovering from an injury, what type of player can he enter to be for the University of Utah? Like, what's his ceiling for him in that Morgan Scali defense?
To be honest with you, a conversation I've had, I was told that Muhammad ended up coming to Utah because he saw the attention that Devin Lloyd was coming, and he felt like he was every bit as good as Devin Lloyd, if not better. And so that's kind of where, at least what I've heard, his ceiling is in his eyes. He thinks he's that kind of guy. He thinks he's a first-round guy. He thinks he can grab that kind of attention and publicity, and he felt like Utah was the place he could actually do that, which is a little crazy to hear when you think about he was at Florida and the SEC and that kind of, you know, prestige and all that national attention that's always kind of centered in that area. So the fact that he's very confident, A, in his skills, and B, that Utah can get him there, is pretty crazy. And then, of course, yes, you go back and you look at the film, you listen back to interviews that have been done with the coaching staff, Colton Swan and Morgan Scali, and, you know, all these guys that are talking about, you know, what we love about him is that he's super athletic, very fast, can go from one end of the field to the other really quickly, close the gap, just that freak of nature kind of athlete, and they think he is very smart. And this is all going to be determined upon, I think, you know, how well does he study? Because he has been out for a while. He hasn't been able to actually get the reps in. So is he taking the mental reps so that he's prepared to do what he says he wants to do and what he thinks he can do and what the Utah coaches think he can do? And if he's dialed in mentally, I don't see any reason why he can't be that guy for Utah this year.
You know, it's just how those things happen at schools. You know, Utah has known to develop running backs now. Utah's been known to develop defensive linemen. You know, and you get a Devin Lloyd who now goes in the first, and it starts attracting other players, and then it just kind of builds and feeds on itself. And that could be very much that process. And, you know, Florida's in a building mode, and, you know, I'm sure Muhammad wanted to go to a team with a chance to win and a team that could highlight what he is as a player. I think it was pretty savvy on his part. What does dropping the divisions mean? What do you think that means for the Pac-12 this year and going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be something that's very interesting to watch develop. I think there's probably going to be several phases of, you know, figuring out what this looks like. I think we've talked before about, you know, one of the big issues is everybody wants to play in California, right? Because it's a big recruiting round. You want your brand present in front of all these high school kids that, you know, you're potentially going to want to look at. And so how do you kind of even that out in a system without divisions? You know, and then of course, any kind of rivalries, you know, are we making sure that those stay in place? I mean, we did see with conference realignment almost, gosh, like 12 years ago now that, you know, some rivalries did get kind of put to the side, and you can even argue that Utah BYU was one of those casualties, even though a little bit of a different situation with it being two totally different conferences. But it's, you know, how are they going to manage all of these moving parts if you're moving to more of a round robin system versus a divisional system? And then of course it's who's going to rise to the top as well, and is it the people that we currently think, you know, are at the top, are going to stay at the top. And right now it looks like it's Utah, USC, and Oregon that are probably the best bets to be that 1-2 punch heading to the national championship, the college or conference championship. So it's just one of those things where a lot of moving pieces, a lot to keep track of, and you know, who knows what this is ultimately going to end up looking like. And a lot of that also is going to be very dependent upon, you know, USC and Oregon are, you know, in interesting spots because they are dealing with totally new coaching staffs. They are having to kind of re-implement and some of that kind of stuff. And it's not that they don't have the bodies, because I certainly think they have the talent, but how quickly does that talent pick up on, you know, what the coaches want them to do? And so there's just all these things kind of happening. I'm pretty sure the conference commissioner has talked about this, is making it easier for your top teams. So, you know, this year Utah actually plays both USC and Oregon. You know, that's not changing. But in years going forward, if Utah continues to be a top contender, if USC continues to be a top contender, and if Oregon continues to be a top contender, do they see each other very much in the regular season, or does that get saved for the finale?
Yeah, and you know, I was reading this article that you put up about the games that the Utes have been to in the New Year's Six era in these bowl games. Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl, now Rose Bowl. Next year, what it looks like is there's still just going to be the two semifinal games of the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl. There's the Rose Bowl possibility for the conference champions this year. Next year, the Rose Bowl's a national semifinal. If you had your druthers, a Rose Bowl semifinal game is better than a Fiesta Bowl semifinal game. Discuss.
Yeah, I here's the thing is I missed out on the Fiesta Bowl and I missed out on the Sugar Bowl. I was a freshman the Sugar Bowl year, but I did not go to that game. And then I was in junior high, actually, when they went to the Fiesta Bowl and didn't go to that game either. So, like, I don't have a huge point of reference. The only New Year's Six bowl game I've ever been to is the Rose Bowl. And it
that's a good one to go to.
I mean, right? Again,
it's going to go, first, you know.
You know, good first one to go to, for sure. And especially under the circumstances and just kind of what happened to get there. It was incredible, and it absolutely lived up, I thought, to the hype and everything that people have been telling me for years and years and years about this game and how mystical it is and the magic and the pageantry, and it absolutely lived up to that. So with that being said, because that's all I know, I for sure am going Rose Bowl on a semifinal. Absolutely.
Right. Problem is you'd have to wait till 2023 for, or 2023, 2024 for that.
Hold on.
So I guess you'll I guess you'll take the national semifinal.
Hang on.
In a Fiesta Bowl next year.
I would go to the Peach Bowl if you're getting in the playoffs over the Rose Bowl, okay? This year.
Why?
Well, because Utah's already been to the Rose Bowl. It's
old hat. Yeah. Good argument.
We'll go to the Peach Bowl.
Good argument. Old hat. That's not what you want. You don't want to go to Georgia to play in a national semifinal. You're probably playing Georgia in a national semifinal in their backyard. That's not what you want. So either way, Michelle Bodkin, you can read her byline there at KSLSports.com. We appreciate all the Utah-centric stuff that she's pumping out. We love having her on the team. Thanks for being with us, Michelle.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your show.
Yeah, you too. You have a great rest of our show, too. How you doing?
I'll tell you, not having like divisions anymore, like the best thing that can happen is Utah and USC are the two best teams in the Pac-12.
That's the best thing that could happen?
Yes. Yeah, because if it, just say it's Utah.
Have them play each other again.
Let's say it's Utah and, I don't know, Washington State. National media doesn't care.
For sure.
But if
they're playing each other a second time, it's Lincoln Riley and it's Kyle Whittingham.
Yes.
It's Cam Rising, Caleb Williams. There's no way that game doesn't deliver on October 15th between those two guys, right?
The first time, and you want both of these teams playing very well, and then you want them to come back and play each other in a conference championship game.
Yeah. Oregon, I'm still.
Then you start getting on the roadmap.
I'm not sold on Oregon as the team that's going to kind of split Utah and USC. I'm not convinced. Now Utah's got to play Oregon and USC, so. They got the tougher road to go. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have our What Are the Odds around the corner. Don't want to miss it, so let's just jump right into the break. We'll come right back. More to go. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Let me see here. We just found, Scott was telling me, because he's a big Ted Lasso guy, that Danny Rojas, the actor who plays Danny Rojas.
Football is life.
Football is life. Cristo Fernandez. He's actually, he was an actual soccer player.
Yes.
You kind of had to do it. It's like when they hired, you know, when the Hoosiers guys that they hired, they were basketball players kind of first, and then they kind of transitioned. And you could tell. I mean, Jimmy Chitwood, that guy has zero acting chops, but he had a sweet stroke. And that guy made shots. When you watch that scene where Gene Hackman is shagging balls for him, like kind of a semi-flat ball on a dirt surface out there, and he's throwing him rebounds, and he goes, "I don't care what you do." Remember that whole thing? He's like, "Yeah, do whatever you want. I don't care what you do." And in that whole sequence, he does not miss a shot until he goes, "Bottom line is, I don't care what you do." And then he throws him the ball, and that's when he misses, right? But the whole time.
So that's good acting if you can make them all and then
miss at the
and
very
then
end.
Miss the very end. That's, you know.
Well, it's like they probably had to take a few takes on there, like with Larry Bird. When Larry Bird would be like, "Well, look, like this one right here. You can't shoot like this." "Well, I made it, but normally most people won't make it like that." That's kind of like Jimmy Chitwood. Anyway, Cristo Fernandez, real soccer player, and he was also apparently in Spider-Man No Way Home as a bartender. Didn't know. Didn't know. So there you go. Let me see here, Scott. Oh, it's that time of the day for us to play our What Are the Odds? So here's how it works with What Are the Odds. I give you a, or you give me, a scenario, 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points if we can give you a jersey number that's associated with that person. Okay. Scott, what are the odds that that BYU has a third straight year of 10-plus wins on the football
field?
This is a tough
schedule here.
We've done this the last 3 years where you go, yeah, but look at that dadgum schedule. Oof. Now, except for the COVID year when you went, Texas who? Which direction in Texas are they playing this year or this week? But last year, another double-digit win season.
I think that, I think the schedule's difficult. I think it's they got a pretty good team. They got more depth. I don't think it's out of the realm of the possibilities. But I think it's going to be I'll go Walter Payton, 34%.
Okay. Not bad. I'm going to go with a – let's see. I'm going to go with a Richard Sherman 25% chance that that happens.
Yeah.
It's just – I could see him going 9-3. I see him winning 9 games this year. Maybe they win that 10th one in a bowl game. I don't know. It's just such a
Oh, are you counting the bowl game?
Kind of. Not really. What are the odds?
I still say it's 34%.
What are the odds? And apparently they're working him out. Colin Kaepernick ends up signing with the Raiders. Working out with the team today. What are the odds that Colin Kaepernick ends up on Lloyd Cole's favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, I think it's significant that they're actually working him out. The Raiders seemed like they would be a team that would embrace the circus. like Las Vegas
it
is
will
kind
be,
of a,
it will be a circus too, right? They sign him, he's on a team.
It's always going to be a story. You know, it's just going to be a story. But that being said, I don't see it happening. I'll say Jim Plunkett. Since we talked about it
yesterday.
16%.
I'm going to go with a Colin Kaepernick 7% chance. 7% chance.
That was pretty clever.
No,
right
and it has nothing to do with whether or not. I think he's – I mean, how long has he been removed from football?
2017 was the last time that he actually talked to a team. That was 5 years ago.
That's insane.
I think it's been longer than
16 was last year you played?
6 years
out of
the league.
So you're talking 6 years out of the league. I mean, you tell me. Can somebody just come pop back in after 6 years not in the league and go, I'm ready? Maybe the wear and tear isn't there at least.
Yeah, and, you know, these athletes are they're just trained different today. People are just different today.
They are. I'm interested to see. Like, if he's good enough, sign him. Don't not sign
him. I'm not
sure
he was good enough before. Like, I wasn't, like, overly like, ooh, I'm just so impressed with Colin Kaepernick.
He won some football games. He went to the dadgum Super Bowl, Scott.
Yeah, he was kind of a one-hit wonder.
Okay. All right. By the way, what are the odds brought to you by the folks at Sound Sleep Medical? Are you using a CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea you might have? Well, Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com for more information at soundsleepmedical.com.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us this hour. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and host of Cougar Sports Saturday, is going to join us on the program. We're going to try to put together a little impromptu Zone Sports Network trip to see Top Gun Maverick. Scott, you're down, right? You're in.
Yeah.
Scott called to like, because we threw it out there as a suggestion, I think, during one of our pre-show meetings or something. And Scott followed up today. Scott did the good coworker thing and said, hey, were you messing around? Were you just pulling my leg when you were talking about the whole station going over to see Top Gun? I said, no, man. So we got Nate to sign off. And I think everybody gets a per diem.
I think the fans should join us.
Yeah, hey, why not? Yeah, I'll tell you where we're going to be.
We'll get our seats first, and then we'll tell you where
right,
we are.
Right, right. So we'll make sure that we can
so
get
make
the
sure
seats
we get enough
at
seats.
The at the theater we want to go to, and at the time we want to go. Nah, yeah, why not? Maybe we don't tell everybody where we all are at once. A lot of people showing up like it's the Jets and the Sharks. You want to fight? I heard you say that on the radio the other day. Back in my – like when I was really new in radio, I was like – I used to take all the insults very personally. Go blankety blank yourself. And I'd be like, why don't you come down to the broadcast house, 55 North, 300 West, Salt Lake City. I'll be outside. Like the dumbest thing you could ever say to somebody. Like,
did you really say that?
I totally did. I was because I used to get so frustrated. And when you're 23 and a half and you're not used to, you don't have that that thick skin that they all tell you to develop. And you know, it just people still get to you periodically, but it's fewer and further between when you've been called all the names.
I think the more you age, the less you care.
There's that, and you've heard it too. Yeah. Like, there's not a thing that Scott Mitchell could hear right now. Although I guess it depends on the source, right? If I threw a couple blankety blanks at you, you wouldn't care because you're used to it. No, even then, I think that there are people that you could hear, you could get insults from, and you wouldn't.
I'm trying to think of
care.
Of who. Nah, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd care.
I think you'd actually care more if a random listener said something to you about it, than if I did. Well, maybe because you know I wouldn't actually believe it, but I don't know. Anyway, thick skin. We're all trying to develop it, but we're gonna go see. Top Gun Maverick. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm going to send the email out right now, take a little mini poll, see when everybody can do it. All right. Oh, my gosh. Did you see this? I saw this today, and I wanted to just say something about this. This is before we get into the cut. So NIL has gotten to a lot of weird places. You know, we saw the guy who was doing that fullback who caught that extra pass at Kansas, right? They did an Applebee's thing. You know, periodically somebody will do like an ice cream, you know, thing, an ice cream shop for a tight end over here. All the offensive linemen get a mayonnaise, you know, Duke's mayonnaise deal, that kind of stuff.
That was a weird one.
This one's the weirdest one I've ever seen. And this one, Jeremy's got the music queued up for this. Middle Tennessee quarterback. I know you already know his name. Dresser Wynn. He gets an NIL deal to endorse a district attorney in Tennessee, a district attorney candidate. First of all, district attorney is one of those things that you're like, why are we, like, why do there need to be political, like a you know, Republican or Democrat in that position? It's like when you have a sheriff in there, he's like, I'm a Democratic sheriff. And you're like, I don't care. Hold on, start the music over. What would an NIL deal sound like? Now, I mean, if you're going to get the music out, I'm gonna pretend like we're doing it. Hey, I'm Tennessee Martin Senior Dresser Wynn, and I want to share my support for local district attorney candidate for the General 27th Judicial District of Tennessee, Colin Johnson. He's coming to my camp this weekend, and we're going to be signing autographs together. I know that you and District Attorney General for the 27th Judicial District of Tennessee, Colin Johnson, will be able to really jive together. That really works for you. They're paying this kid to make a political political ads for this district attorney candidate.
Whatever happened to kissing babies? You know what? Why do we have to go
this
to
easy?
To,
this is
to
easy.
This kind of stuff.
Make
now.
Your quarterback kiss him. That's what you want. I did like I, again, it's not Middle Tennessee State. It's Tennessee Martin.
I think it goes. I think it goes back to. It's somewhere in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah, I got
Martin
it.
Middle. No. I think it's one of those. It goes back to that whole thing of, you know, recognizing the influencer part of these athletes, and just figuring out and getting creative and figuring out how are all the different types of ways that you could possibly, you know, capitalize on the fact that people are following these guys.
Yeah.
But you hear all of these things, Alex, and the reality is they're not like generational money. They're not going to transform someone's life.
What do you think you pay him? I mean, he's got
$1,000.
He's got 1,000 followers on Twitter. He's got 3,000 followers on Instagram.
$500. I mean,
it just
you,
went
had
down.
You, yeah.
Hey, if like, I would have said 50,000, then you go, yeah, give the kid 10 grand. The thing is
it's got to be fun to get some of that money. And
oh,
whatever.
Of course. No, and this is exactly why they bring it up, was because there was, you know, I can't remember who was making the point about the NIL stuff. Oh, it was Lane Kiffin. He goes, yeah, these guys are picking where they're going to go to school based off of NIL money because
I don't believe that.
I think they might. But if money's on the table, I bet for a lot of these kids, the ones who are really kind of going, I'd like to get paid a little bit, he says, and he kind of hypothesizes that it's because there's not going to be NFL money coming their way. Most of these guys aren't going to be getting NFL money. So why not get paid in college for a thing that you're doing for representing the school if you're not going to be able to do it as a pro?
When you go to college, most of these guys think they're going to go to the pros.
Yeah.
So they think they're going to get that money.
Yeah, but you know what? Dress or win. What? Quarterback for Tennessee Martin.
Probably not.
Probably doesn't think that.
I think this whole NIL deal is more and more like steroids. Like, steroids became a thing because the perception was everyone else was doing it. So if I don't do it, I'm behind the ball game. And I really wonder how much guys are really getting paid NIL money. I wonder how extensive it really is and to what depth it really is, and really what kind of impact it's having on these players where they go to one program or another. And so I think these schools like the Alabamas and like the Texas A&Ms, they feel like everyone else is doing it, whether they are or they're not. Likelihood they're probably not as extensive as what's being reported, because you don't have to report it.
Right.
So I just think the perception is, well, we got to go out and do it. We got to do it in as big a way as we possibly can.
Here's the cool thing, though. Here's the cool thing. Part of the payment, too, was he encouraged people to go out there and vote. So there you go.
I love the creativity of it. It's like, man, people are thinking of all the different ways. You know, I'd be nervous.
I guess it works
if I'm a player, because if this is a political position, you know, now you're
right. That's where
now you start ostracizing people, right. And I don't know that
I'm
you want to do.
I'm surprised at the NCAA and the school, like if they're going to say you can't do alcohol, you can't do this, can't do that. I'm surprised that they would say don't do the political thing either. Like if you're at BYU, and you've got guys there, like it's in your best interest to not have guys, you know, speaking politically, right? Because that's not really the vibe that BYU wants from anybody. Is to go out there and do the political thing. Which actually might work out to be a better deal, right? I mean, Nick Ford would have done this in a heartbeat. He did it for free. He had a passion about some of the issues that were going on, and he jumped in.
Well, and in our society today, you know, athletes being involved in social issues is a big deal.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine, like, in the next presidential cycle, there's like in the South, or Scott? No. Big swing state. One of those big states. Florida is one of those states. You know, always hotly contested. Ohio. It's no coincidence those are two big football states. Like, it would actually be in the best interest
of these politicians, yes.
For a presidential candidate to be like, hey man, you're going out there and I need you to wear that. I need you to wear that Trump 2024 shirt for me. You're playing quarterback at Florida State, let's do it. Like, I mean, you might see some of these players weaponized for
for a presidential Miami's in debate. In that Dade Broward area. That's a liberal part of the state. Florida is more of the conservative.
What's
side
another
of,
one?
Of,
Pennsylvania, of always hotly contested, big football state.
Yeah.
Michigan, always hotly contested, football state. Wisconsin, same. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild. All right.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Didn't intend to go this far with the 27th district attorney general's race for assistant general attorney in Tennessee. I want to know what that check looked like. I want to know how much that money was. Above 1,000 or below 1,000?
You know, something just hit me.
What?
So Deshaun Watson, right? He has these civil lawsuits of impropriety when he was getting
20 plus
massages, right?
Yes.
And two of the women have actually spoken out and think it's deplorable that he got this $230 million contract.
One of them called it a slap in the face.
Just absolutely.
Right.
I would probably not say anything if I'm one of these women, because what if you actually win the lawsuit against him? You probably want to go, yeah, go and make all the money you want.
I'll take it. Right?
I'll be happy to, yeah, share in your success.
Yeah, it's I watched one of those interviews, and the NFL is going to do something. This guy's going to have to – he's likely going to sit out because they're going to have to make their decision based off of just a couple of these gals' interviews you're going.
So I know a few of these professional athletes.
Yeah.
And I guarantee the mindset of these athletes is no one tells them no. No one tells them no.
They've never been told no.
They've never been told no. So they probably are in a situation where – they're in a room alone with a female, and she's massaging him, and it's all legitimate.
Right.
And then he's like, well, hey, here's an opportunity. And
no one's ever said no to me before.
No one's ever said no to me. So I don't even, like, and the probably the really sad thing about that, Alex, is the athlete probably makes an assumption erroneously that like they real like
everyone wants me.
Everyone wants me.
Yeah.
And in a lot of instances people do. They want you for the idea of power and fame and recognition, which is hard for you. You don't know the difference because you just grew up thinking
the ones who
everybody
don't,
loves me.
But see, and again, yeah, that line that you draw when you've never you think that you shouldn't have anybody be able to tell you no. And so then a no and a yes is the same.
For him, he
for a guy like that,
he probably
awful.
Probably thought he'd done nothing wrong.
Because it's the same to him.
Yes.
A yes and a no, yeah. He's the same to him.
Yep.
In the position that he's in, because he does whatever he wants. Shameful. I mean, allegedly shameful.
Right. Of course, allegedly.
Is that what we have to do? Yeah. Do I have time for this other thing? Jeremy's like, yeah, maybe. List of the top most influential people.
We could get
people started
on it.
No, but I mean, we'll start there. I mean, the cut has been kind of all over the place today. So we'll just do, we'll jump into this. Time Magazine has rolled out the top 100 influential people. Some locals were on the list, and it's fine. Great. Most of these, and this is across the entire world of
sports.
Of sports. Everything. Could be artists, could be actors, all these. Nathan Chen, one of those guys. He went to the elementary school over here. Hawthorne, right? In Salt Lake City, right? He's in our old neighborhood. His sister
right.
babysat like families. People know him, right, around town. Mike Cannon Brooks, Utah Jazz part owner and tech billionaire. That's somebody you don't hear about.
Never heard of him. I heard this was the first I heard. He was actual owner of the Utah Jazz.
Becky Sabrun, former Utah Royals FC player, current women's national team. Those are the three local big names that were thrown out there on the most influential list of 100 people. And it's interesting because this guy who, Michael Cannon Brooks, who is a part owner of the Jazz and a kajillionaire in the tech industry, interesting guy to get to know. I think there's a lot of folks. He's on the harnessing solar power side of things. So he might be able to change the world in all sorts of cool ways. So looking out for our Utahns. Now, on the sports side of things, historically, you got your Larry H. Millers. You've got your – because this is better because you don't have to do like just a Mount Rushmore, right? If it's Mount Rushmore and you're limited to a few. So let's go to the most influential – Scott, let's just do – Five most influential people in the state of Utah sports ever. That's all we have time for. Top five, Mount Rushmore, Utah sports.
I say Lavelle Edwards.
Okay? Lavelle Edwards. Is it too early to put Kyle Whittingham on there?
Yes.
Do you have to be from Utah? Or at least do you have to have like more of a tie? Because like, could you say Ty Detmer? Heisman Trophy winner? Nah. Right?
Larry Miller.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. So Larry H. Miller.
John Stockton, Carl Malone.
Now, is that one person?
Stockton to Malone.
Stockton to Malone, just so you can have an extra couple places
Look,
in there.
Have them one person, give them two basketballs.
Okay.
That's all you got to do.
They've done it out here.
Yeah, just give them two bats so they all feel like
Karl Malone doesn't have the ball in his hand, then Karl Malone doesn't want a statue. What about Steve Young? Guy no. like Steve Young? No.
Steve Young's influence in sports was more outside of Utah when he left.
Are we short then?
I'm looking for people in the state of Utah who have had the biggest impact.
Former Roy High School graduate Jim McMahon.
No.
Come on.
No. I don't know that. Yeah.
Rick Majerus.
Possibly.
No. If you're not going to put, I think before Rick Majerus, you got to put Kyle Whittingham on there. I think Kyle Whittingham's almost. I think he's
Rick
earned
Majerus
his way on
play,
there.
Rick Majerus played in a. You know, had they won the Rose Bowl, I think Kyle Whittingham's.
By
not
the
done.
Time it's all
I,
said and
I
done,
think, I think if Kyle
even if
Whittingham
he doesn't get back to the Rose Bowl,
if they win another Pac-12 championship,
yeah,
and let's say they go to the college football playoffs. That may
oh, we're
be
missing. Yeah, Sam Farnsworth finally chimed in.
That may be enough.
People are screaming at their radio. Jerry Sloan, what the heck are we doing?
I thought about Jerry Sloan.
You did?
Of course I did.
Scott's one of those guys, too, that goes, what about Frank Layden? We got to get Frank Layden on there. I'm always I love Frank Layden, too, but he's not going to – we're not putting him on the Rushmore.
I think Frank Layden had as much of an impact of the Jazz staying here as anybody.
Yeah, but if
and
you're
that's
talking
important.
Most important – Lavelle Edwards, Larry H. Miller, Jerry Sloan, Stockton and Malone.
So it's all Jazz
people. It's all Jazz
people
and then Lavelle.
Except for Lavelle. Well, but if you think about if
Larry H. Miller's I'm gonna do more of his contribution to the theater
to the
and
arts?
Car and used car market.
Movie theaters.
Yes.
And
that was strictly for that, not about sports.
But you know, down the road, maybe it's Ryan Smith.
I bet Kyle Whittingham would be
maybe or Kyle Whittingham or maybe someone.
Look, you're talking the three most important
it's
sports
hard,
in the
it's
state
hard,
of Utah.
It's hard when you have college football players or basketball players because their time here is too short.
Jazz, BYU, and Utah football. Those are the three most important things, right?
Right.
That's all you need to have on there. So if you have the greatest coaches in those places, Sloan, Edwards, and I think Kyle Whittingham will be that guy. So that's my vote. All right. We're going to take the break here. When we come back. Hey, big up for the brain fart moment that we were having there on the program, although Scott claims to have thought about it. Big ups to Sam Farnsworth.
KSL still not TV, getting his candy on the show.
No, we're not getting your
– Not getting your candy on
look,
the show.
Look, no. your good and plenty cannot be on the show at all. I'm sorry.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for hanging out. Game 5 tonight at Eastern Finals. Scott, who do you have? Celtics, Heat. That one's down in Miami. Tied up at two games apiece. These have been garbage games. Like it's just like blowouts every game, it feels like.
Heat.
You're going to have the Heat at home? Jimmy Butler and crew?
Yep.
I feel like Jason Tatum's starting to figure some stuff out. I don't know who I think I want Boston to go on because they just seem like a team that they've really put it together this last little bit here. How annoying was it watching that? Like, at some point, because they're 148-0 all time, teams that have been up 3-0 in an NBA conference finals situation.
Sounds like about the time.
Like, then why are we doing this?
The percentages change.
Oh, so you're one of those guys.
Yeah.
See, I'm just not. I'm one of those that goes.
Hey, never say never, but never.
But never. I'm saying, listen, I guess the 16 seed upset the number one finally, right?
Yep.
UMBC Rest in peace, Virginia, and Coach Tony Bennett that year. Although they won the Natty next year, right? That's a good way to redeem yourself. Boy, otherwise you'd be – that's the only way to redeem yourself. Otherwise you're going to be living that thing the rest of your life. So I'm just – I was disappointed that we have to watch that that slow burn on that garbage series between Dallas and Golden State. I don't want more games. I need less. I don't want more blowouts. I need less. All right. Joining us on the program, he is our BYU insider for KSL Sports, host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, nothing much, guys. It feels like, football season is just around the corner. So the days of nights having to watch blowout NBA playoff basketball
getting short. Soon
be over, and college football's on the horizon.
All right, I got to ask you a question, because we had your cohort in crime, Matt Biamondi, on last week. And he was trying to convince me that Jaren Hall is a better pro prospect than Zach Wilson.
Oh, no, not at all. No, I honestly, coming into this season, I think that Jaren probably, I think probably a fourth round guy, probably. I think he can definitely work his way up to, maybe. I think what hurts Jaren Hall is that he probably would have been better served in this year's NFL draft class. He could have maybe had a case to be right there with Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett as one of the best prospects, because it was such a weak class. I think Jaren, though, is going to have a monster year this season, and I think that lends itself to where he can make a Zach Wilson-type rise, but I don't think he's going to be a top two. He's not going to be a top 10, top 15, not even top 20. I think he could be, in the best case scenario, back into the first round.
You know, we've kind of looked at this before and gone, okay, I mean, Jaren the last couple of years has been talking about, I'm just getting myself ready for, the possibility of trying to get a pro career going. A lot of these guys come in and say that, but he's one of those guys that I feel like has kind of played a little bit into it now, right? I mean, you see these guys that sometimes they say that and you roll your eyes a little bit, but what is it about his game that really kind of translates to that next level? I think sometimes the arm strength, even though he's got that baseball background, I think we looked at sometimes and went, I've seen way too many guys coming back on those deep balls or whatever, but what is it about his game that would be attractive to an NFL scout?
Well, I think that in spring ball, I thought the velocity on his passes, I mean, that the deep ball, it was not short arms. I mean, he was throwing passes, deep balls in spring practice that were tried on the money. There was a lot more accuracy the way he was throwing the football. And that's a credit to, I think, the work he's put in with guys like John Beck and Dustin Smith. He's been putting in a lot of work with those guys. And I think also Jaren's the type that you talk about maybe making, millions of dollars of an investment into a guy. And he's a safe bet. I mean, he's a family guy. But he's also committed to his craft. He sacrificed baseball on football, and he wants it. And he was also a guy that was patient, too. I mean, he was the backup to Zach Wilson, and he could have easily said, I'm moving on, going to the portal, because that was a thing when he arrived at BYU. But he stuck it out, and now he's going into year two as the face of BYU's offense as the starting QB. So I think there's a lot to like, and I think also his dual threat ability, too. Not going to be a run first quarterback at BYU this year. I think a lot of times he'll table that by people that don't follow BYU, him to be pass first, but he's got incredible ability to run. Go watch him against Baylor, against a second round draft pick. He's the fastest combine, up to a 56 yard touchdown run against a Big 12 champion. So Jaren's got incredible athleticism, and I think his accuracy and the velocity of his passes, again, is going to be off the charts this year as well, which I think lends itself to a higher profile as maybe a rising draft stock potentially.
So you on Cougar Tracks podcast, I guess today, you had some predictions on BYU's football season. What are those predictions? Do tell.
Yeah, game by game, with 100 days coming up, and football season, like it's getting there. I mean, because like you guys, I'm getting a little bit fatigued with these blowout NBA playoff games. So I thought, I'm going to roll out my game by game predictions, and I got the right to change it once it gets closer to the season. But right now, I got BYU at 9-3, and I've got the losses being to Oregon, Notre Dame, and Arkansas. I think those three games BYU loses. I see this being a season kind of maybe like the Bronco Mendenhall years, where the games against the Liberty and East Carolina, I feel pretty confident that Kalani's gotten to a point where BYU wins those games. I think a couple years ago it felt like, you know, is this a trap game? Is this a game that, you know, Kalani's gonna lose potentially? I think they've elevated their status to that point where they should win those ones. They still have that ability to drop a game they should, but I think they've stepped up in that regard. I just think Notre Dame defensively is going to be right there with Baylor's, one of the best defenses they face, and I think that's going to be a pro Notre Dame crowd. And I think Arkansas too, the quarterback, they bring starting offensive linemen, they upgraded their defensive personnel with the transfer portal. I think Arkansas is a team that BYU seems to have a get out of the gates 5-0, and then they have this, you know, 2-week lull where they lose to Boise, lose to Baylor. I see something similar like that happening for BYU in October. But I think they're going to get a win over South Florida Open and then Baylor in week two. And I don't think any Cougar fan would scoff at maybe opening the first month of the season going into that Notre Dame game at 4-1.
Refresh our memory on BYU's bowl tie-in this year. Does ESPN have something kind of locked up for them unless they see fit to change it? Or I can't remember what years they have some affiliation already. What's the possibility bowl-wise? And kind of if it's not a, you know, 11-1 season, then what's it going to end up being for BYU? Is it going to be one of these independence bowls? Is it going to be a Hawaii bowl? What are we talking here in the postseason?
It's an ESPN at large. So any of the ESPN event bowl games, ESPN could slide BYU into. I would imagine the Hawaii Bowl definitely is an opportunity because I think BYU enjoyed the trip. You know, if you're not going to go to a great game, you'd much rather go to Honolulu than Shreveport, Louisiana. So I think that, you know, Hawaii Bowl definitely would be in the mix. But it's another Christmas Eve game, and that's not ideal for the fans. But ESPN would slot BYU in one of their own properties. And even, you know, it's tricky too with, you mentioned, you know, the possibility of a New Year's Six. That's even difficult this year too, because even if BYU ran the table, you know, that's pie in the sky type stuff. You could see a scenario where they're still going to like a Hawaii Bowl because there's very few at-large bids when you kind of break it out in this year with the at-large bids pretty much being tied up to conference tie-ins and all the playoff bowls. There's not going to be as many at-large opportunities for BYU when the Rose Bowl's not in the playoff structure and things like that. So not many opportunities from an at-large perspective this year compared to some other years where there's some of the other bowl games in the playoff mix.
Mitch, what are the kind of, I guess, calendar items that BYU fans should kind of have some piqued interest in here when we're talking about BYU and their media day, or kind of other important key dates where you can at least pretend like college football is getting a little bit closer?
Yeah, I mean, so next week's going to be pretty noteworthy, I think. Big 12 AD meetings, I'll actually be down there in Dallas for that event, and that should be quite interesting to see all the movers and the shakers in the Big 12 conference and maybe get an idea of what the future of the league's going to be there. Tom Homo is going to be there. They'll be at the Four Seasons down in Texas. So living the high life. BYU will experience Power 5 living right away with those AD meetings next week. So that should be noteworthy. Hopefully some news items come out of there. BYU summer camps in June. That's where a lot of recruiting goes down, where you'll see a lot more commitments. You're going to see some official visitors coming in, like a Walker Lyons, a four-star tight end from California, Hunter Clegg from American Fork, an outside edge rusher. They're going to be visiting in June. And then you got the BYU football media day, June 22nd. And from there, I mean, then it becomes Big 12 media day. And you know, the talk of the newcomers will be interesting. And then before you know it, it's, you know, fall camps getting going late July, early August. So, yeah, there's some key mileposts here coming up for BYU football in the future of BYU and the Big 12 conference, which I think is still, it's just a weird year because I think everyone is just locked into what the Big 12 is going to be. And it's kind of like, you know, just get 2022 over with and move on to the Big 12 era. But there's work to be done this year, and they got a great chance to put together what I think is going to be another 9-win, maybe 10-win season to get some bounces go their way under Kalani Sitake as they close out Independence.
Did you tune into Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler yesterday?
Come on, the wise guys. The wise guys. I thought it was a betting situation. I didn't know what to think about it, but apparently it's a BYU thing.
I did not. I'll have to check that out.
Well, it's on Tuesdays. I thought for sure it'd be something you would tune into.
Mitch is tuning in and taking notes. Whatever, they're taking notes off of Mitch, bro. Come on, let's not fool this thing out. Let's make this clear what it is. The BYU insider in this market is Mitch Harper. Come on, let's figure it out. Mitch, thanks for being with us, man. We'll talk to you again next week. Especially if you're going to be down in Dallas, we're going to make you do some extra work. Do you get to stay at the Four Seasons Inn?
Unfortunately not. I'll be across the street
what?
At La Quinta.
Wow. at the La Quinta.
I will be at the La Quinta, but I'll try to work some way into the golf course and maybe hop on Holmo's cart and have some golf there.
Sure. Brian Santiago will squeeze you in. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I just dialed up Brian and got a foursome lined up with Bowlesby, yeah,
sure.
So we'll see you on the link.
Yeah, we'll get out there. You stay at the Four Seasons? Nah, Super 8. We're good. We're fine. We're going to be good. All right, Mitch, we'll talk to you again, man. Safe travels. All right, there you go. Mitch Harper. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him.
The Utah Utes. Headed to the Rose Bowl for the first time in program history. Emphatic champions of the Pac-12 as they hammer the Ducks again. It's the
final countdown. For BYU and all of its fans, it was Big 12 weekend. And after a 12-year wait, it's a big win for the Cougs over their in-state rivals. 10 is not coming.
All right, welcome back. Yes, the final countdown. Here we are, 94 days to Utah State versus UConn. 94 days till college football hits the city of Utah. There you go. 101 days till BYU versus South Florida and Utah versus Florida down in the Sunshine State. So we're giving you the countdown of those days because, frankly, I don't think that makes it go any faster, Scott. But I kind of don't care because it's just like I want to be able to have an excuse every day to talk about college football, and here we are. That's why we do this. That's why we jump in on our final countdown every day to be able to talk about some college football, one of our favorite topics. Scotty and Hans are going to be live from New Ways Mattress in Ogden on Friday, 12 to 3 p.m. New Ways will pay the sales tax for everybody purchasing over $599 worth of goods. New Ways Mattress, 3699 Washington Boulevard in Ogden. I just wonder if... It's so hard to go through a full season, Scott, and have a healthy quarterback, right? I mean,
I don't know about having a healthy quarterback. Yeah, it's possible.
It is. I mean, Cam Rising is pretty stout. Like he's pretty durable.
Yeah, he's also kind of fearless too.
He is, and that kind of gets you
and
in
maybe
weird
even
spots.
A little reckless.
I remember rewatching the Rose Bowl and that play when it happened when he got his concussion.
Yeah,
he was till the last. 16th of a second was still trying to get that pass off.
Right.
And I remember thinking, don't try to throw this. Just tuck that thing and let's just take the hit and take the sack. Let's go. But that ended up actually exposing him more because he's trying to make that throw and ended up whipping his head right against that turf. It was one of the more gross, kind of unconscious moments, you know, that and I know Coach Whittingham said he never lost consciousness, but at some point in the field, when your arms are straight in front of you and your teammates are yelling for people to come on the field,
well, you Cam Rising this year has got to be a guy that's if Utah's really going to go where it needs to go, he's got to be the guy, and that really was the difference a year ago. Is Utah found an ability to be a prolific scoring team while the defense was figuring things out. And they were winning a lot of games because their offense was potent. And it all started with him. And they can be as explosive, if not more explosive, this year. But the only way to do that is if he is healthy. So whatever it takes for him, and granted, he was great at converting third downs, and he did a lot of it running, which is what you want to do if you have to do it. But then get down. Just don't expose yourself to extra shots. And sometimes it's not even just like what you're describing, this concussion. It's sometimes getting hit and then having some nagging injury that's not enough to kind of take you out, but enough to just impact your performance. I think it impacted Jaren Hall's performance last year. I don't think he was 100% healthy. And so his maybe inability to throw the ball as effective was hampered because of injury. And you just don't want to have that, especially with Cam Rising.
Tavion Thomas is a guy that, like, we talked a little bit about during spring. It's also a guy that, you know, you've chatted a little bit about in this offseason compared to the fact that if Tavion Thomas gets hurt, they feel like that there's a guy who is as good to replace him as they've ever had at a backup spot. Tavion Thomas is obviously the guy right now, but that might not even be the case by the end of the season.
Well, no, and, you know, it's like the linebacker situation. There's probably more depth at linebacker at Utah as there. The same thing with running back. I mean, there, Tavion Thomas was great. You lost T.J. Pledger. You're still going to have Chris Curry. He didn't play in the spring. He's still around. But he's a guy that can, you know, he's not that breakaway guy, but he's a guy that's going to give you some good yards. This Jalen Johnson, this freshman, might be the guy by the end of the year. But then you have Mekhi Bernard, who is still there, and he was the actual starter going out of camp, and he's a really good guy coming out of the backfield catching the football. He's a really good runner. There's a lot of options, and then there's some guys that actually didn't play last year who are healthy again this year, and who knows? You know, we talked to Michelle Bodkin earlier. This may be a position that you might see a transfer to by the end of camp when it all shakes out.
Oh, but that running back.
But right now, this team is loaded.
So Jalen Glover, I think that's who you're talking about, right?
Did I say Glover?
You said Jalen Johnson.
Oh, Johnson.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, Jalen Glover's the guy that I think Glover. A lot of people are pretty high on, right?
Yeah, sorry.
And so Jalen Glover, Tavion Thomas, Mekhi Bernard, those are guys who all probably think to themselves, I'm the guy. Like, I mean, maybe Jalen Glover is young enough to wear, but I mean, from what you've said and from what he did in the red and white game that they had in the spring, you were like,
all
Tavion
Thomas has to do is fumble the ball a couple of times, and he'll be sitting in the doghouse.
Well, there's a
maturity process that Tavion Thomas needs to go through.
I thought he kind of did it last year.
He still needs to go through it.
All right. Every year, got to reset.
No, he just. You know,
he's still in the middle of it.
Still more refining.
All right, there you go. We'll be back again tomorrow with some with more of our countdown. Right, so every day we're doing some college football, counting you down the days. 94 days till Utah State and UConn. 101 days. 100 is that what it was? 101 days for BYU and Utah both going down to the state of Florida. All right, we'll take the break here.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes. Yes.
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for being with us. I'm looking at the screen here. We talked last hour a little bit about how Colin Kaepernick's going to be working out with the Raiders. First scheduled workout with an NFL team since 2017. I just wonder if you'd be able to physically – I mean, how old is Kaepernick now? I mean
somewhere in his 30s. Is he 34?
Early 30s? Or?
I think he's 34.
34. Yeah, 34. That's – well, what you tell me, Scott. I mean, Tom Brady kind of bucks the trend when it comes to this. But
well, quarterbacks today are playing into their 40s if they're pretty good. So
well, Andy hasn't had the –
He might have seven seven, eight more years.
He hasn't had the wear and tear that a lot of these guys do. So maybe he's there. Maybe he's feeling a little bit better. Maybe he's at the peak condition of what he's been in his pro career before. But I don't know. I'd like to see what he can do. And my heavens, I mean, the Raiders have had Nate Peterman on their roster before. Okay,
Mr. Peterman.
I think that they're okay. Like looking around and finding somebody who's even got some version of talent. I mean, some of these teams, they keep the third quarterback. Some don't, but some keep that third quarterback, and that might be him. Who knows? Who are the Raiders quarterbacks they have right now? So we're talking
Derek Carr,
obviously.
And Derek Carr.
But they don't have a backup right now? They've got to have somebody. Look it up. Look into it. Let's get our people on this. In the meantime, let's jump into the first portion of the program as we always do. It's the cut right here at the top of the show.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Utes, RSL, and the Jazz all trust. Go to uofuhealth.org. That's uofuhealth.org. Nick Mullins, is he back? Stidham also signed up, yes. All right, so you got Nick Mullins, Jared Stidham.
So they got Derek Carr, basically. What you say?
Quit it. There's a handful of Nate Petermans coming in. But if Colin Kaepernick.
Mr. Peterman?
Now, here's the thing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he'll make it?
Kaepernick?
Kaepernick. You think he'll be a guy in the league?
I don't know.
I just have no idea what he throws like anymore. All right. Scott, first thing first here. The NBA is considering, of course, that in-season tournament. They've been talking about it. But we're talking about next year, not this coming season, but the year after.
How does the NBA...
They said the 2023-2024 season.
How does the NBA start an in-season tournament when all the complaint is load management? There's already playing too many games. The postseason lasts forever. You got all kinds of guys injured right and left right now.
The idea is, could you work in 82 games for the TV deal and make it a 70-game regular season, mid-season tournament, puts you at 82 games, and you've fulfilled your TV obligations?
So you're having a tournament that will take away from some of the games.
It's not take away. It'll take the overall.
You're still going to have 82 games.
82 games. So load management will still be there.
They're going to take the front end of the season.
Right.
And what's the incentive? Like, is it just to garner more interest?
No, yes, it is. Yes.
And they get what for this tournament?
You
get like a mini NBA championship trophy?
Yeah, I think there's some sort of midseason whatever. But the idea would be bag the All-Star game. Right? Bag the All-Star game, have an actual midseason tournament that meant something. So
they should
bag
the All-Star tournament in every sport in America, except for one, baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah.
Hockey, I guess they love theirs too. I guess the hockey All-Star game, it's pretty well-beloved. But you're right. The NFL, the Pro Bowl is garbage.
You can't tank it on the ice, though.
Right.
It's like once you start skating, you just move.
Right. It's hard to tell those guys to take her easy anyway.
Yeah.
But think about where we're at when we come to our sports and what we like to watch and the All-Star games. Baseball All-Star game, the home run derby, that's always kind of a fun thing. Even the dunk contest has turned into absolute garbage in the NBA.
Yeah.
The three-point contest, don't care. The actual game itself, no one cares.
I like the three-point contest.
Cat won it this year, that's why. It was kind of fun to watch a big man win it. But the All-Star game itself is garbage. The Pro Bowl is garbage. These are games that don't matter at all.
Yeah, Pro Bowl's just awful.
And so the NBA and the NFL both have to consider something to make it to where your fan base can be excited about some extra football or some extra basketball. And in the NBA's case, if you're going to split the season in half, have a midseason tournament, you have to take regular season games off the table. I know you want your TV deal still, so make sure that those still happen. Make sure that TV obligation is still met. Is everybody going to be playing?
What if you did that tournament? Let's just say you did the NBA midseason tournament. And what that tournament did is it reseeded everyone after the tournament. Because what's happening is teams aren't really trying. You got load management. You're doing this. You're doing that. Whatever. So you have this little tournament, and it just kind of reseeds all of the teams.
Yeah. How do you do it? Because at that point, let's say you're partway through the season. You have 40 games in. You're 35 games in, and you're 26-9. And then you come out of that tournament. You lose that midseason tournament. Then what? Are you reseeded again already? And you're actually lower?
Yeah.
I don't know how it would work. Because we just base so many things off of that games back type of a deal.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. So many teams are just mailing it in early on in the season. Everyone's just like, we don't really care about things. We're just going to get into the playoffs. And this is an opportunity for teams to kind of make a move or to try to force teams not to be so much of a bunch of sandbaggers, because what we want is we want the purest competition we can possibly get all the time. We don't want people faking it. We don't want people going through the motions. We want people trying their hardest, regardless of whether they win or lose or if they're in first place or last place. We want competition. We want to see people try hard, and we want to see good games. We don't want to see this. We just don't want to see blowouts. We don't want to see people not having that effort. So incentivize the teams to play hard. That's all I'm saying. And I think you can do it in the NFL too.
Well, part of it is too. The other part of it is that you've got in the NBA, these complaints come up about a midseason tournament that makes it more exciting because the NBA All-Star game is garbage. And Adam Silver wants a tournament. He is like dead set on having a midseason tournament. Okay, so he wants to have it. But the NBA also suffers from these games in the offseason. Everybody's noticed there have been so many blowouts. There have been so many bad basketball games, including last night. Unwatchable after the second quarter, midway through the second quarter. And all I could think was, is Golden State's resting. They don't care. They know they're going to win this series. They know this thing's going to go back to it's going to go back to Golden State, and they're going to have to watch, or you know, maybe they just wanted to win game five at home. Fine. But that game was absolutely worthless last night.
I wonder if you're the Warriors. I wonder if you go, okay, we're up 3-0. We're going to beat these guys. But look at what's happened in the Eastern Conference. They're all tied. So they're probably going to go seven games. And what does seven games look like? Is it another week? Right? Pretty much is about
10 days.
10 days,
they'll
whatever.
Do like every other game, basically. Yeah.
So now you're like, okay, well, we don't want to sit and just kind of rest forever. We're the kind of team that needs to be playing. So let's extend our series out. So instead of having 10 days off waiting for our next opponent, maybe it's seven. Maybe it's 5 games or 5 days. So we're not so rusty going into the finals. So maybe the most of these teams try to tank so they can get a lottery pick. Maybe Golden State's tanking so they can like win a championship.
Now here's the thing now this sounds a little bit familiar because we were chatting about this. I've been thinking about ways to get the NFL to figure itself out too. Because the Pro Bowl is absolute garbage, and they've been considering just throwing it out totally. We talked about this a little bit.
Which they should.
Yesterday. Every option is on the table. Well, let me give you a wild option that's on the table. If you actually got if you actually looked at the NFL and said, okay, how can we improve this thing? In the NFL, they don't have a lottery. They just straight up have, if you're the worst team in the league, you have the first draft pick.
Right.
And so it incentivizes teams once they get in that kind of bottom last four or five teams in the league, they just basically are all fighting to get that first draft pick.
And you'll see a team that's like has one win all season, and then they try really hard that last game and they get 2 wins. And it bumps them out of that first pick.
Right, and then their owner's like, going,
what are you doing?
Why are we doing this? Of course, it's way more worth it, right? And so the NFL has the same problem with its All-Star game, its Pro Bowl, right? No one cares about the Pro Bowl. No one watches the Pro Bowl anymore. The numbers bear out that even though you try to jam it between the 2 weeks of when you're waiting for the Super Bowl, you don't watch it. I don't watch it. I am insane about football in my house. My kid is worse than I am in terms of trying to figure out a way he can watch as much football as possible, and he does not watch it. That's the litmus test. My 13-year-old, who the only thing he worries about in life is football and whether or not he can see an NFL game on TV, and the Pro Bowl is, like, not watchable for him. So there's how you take the temperature. Your fan base doesn't want this game.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Well, we want to see more NFL games that matter, too. And this is not a midseason tournament. You know what this is? This is a playoffs inside of the playoffs. Now, that's not true. You have the teams that are in the playoffs that are actually battling to get to the Super Bowl. Then you have the four teams at the very bottom of the league who are actually now trying to win games to get that first draft pick. Okay? You're the worst team in the league. Now you've got to win to be able to get to. Now you've got to win. So what it is the four seed plays the one seed. The one seed's the worst team, right? Wait, is that right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So if you're the one seed, it's the reverse one seed. Yeah.
It's the old biblical term.
Right.
Those that are last shall be first.
Okay. Yeah. So your fake one seed, your worst one seed, if you're the four seed, you're the best of the worst teams. Second seed, third seed play each other there. Right. Those games get played. And then the quote-unquote draft championship, that first draft pick championship game gets played the week between the Super Bowl. And so what it is you might think to yourself, I don't want to see the Jaguars and the Jets. Oh, yes, you do, because there's something on the line. And these guys are playing to beat one another to actually try to get that first draft pick. And you can imagine. And here's what you do, too, Scott. Oh, I love it. Here's what you do, too. You invite guys to this game that are some of the top prospects in college football.
They present the trophy.
They're there, and there's like
they're doing the coin flip.
Right. You have guys that are going to be in the green room at the draft 2 months later, 3 months later, and you have them there at the game, and all you're doing is showing them on the sideline. And they're going like this. Oh, dang.
They're playing for me.
Oh, they're pulling for the – they're praying that the Jets win so they don't have to go to Jacksonville. They're praying that the Colts – can win that thing because their grandma lives in Indianapolis. They'd love to play for that team.
So you have the playoffs, and then you have all the teams that are out of the playoffs. So they're the playouts. It's the playout series at the end of the season.
They said anything's on the table, and so we're coming up with something.
Well, I think there's a feeling in the NFL like, yeah, let's tank. You know what? It's a great strategy.
And you could tank to get there, but then you'd have to win two games to get that first pick.
You have to win the right to be bad.
Yes.
To get that first pick. And I think this fans, they want to see competitive games. They really do. And that week between championship and the Super Bowl, that's just the saddest week of all. That's just a cruel week. And the Pro Bowl, there's been nothing they've been able to plug in. No. But you put a real game, you put a real series in there, and that has some meaning to it. That has a lot of meaning to it, and it eliminates this whole perception of tanking, the whole thing that management has encouraged teams and coaches. You hear Brian Flores and you hear about Hugh Jackson, and so this just eliminates it. But it also eliminates a really bad Pro Bowl game, and it gives the fans something. To watch that has something on the line. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
No one will ever listen to us, but that's fine. I don't know. If you just want to add an 18th game, fine. But the players are going to have an issue with playing that 18th game. Now, here's the other thing. If you're on the bottom edge of those garbage teams that are playing to get in, you're in the playouts, and you're trying to get that number one draft pick, You get paid extra to play in these games. The playoff payouts for these teams are what? If you go to the playoffs, you go to the first round of the playoffs, what do you get? I can't remember what the number was. Did you get a bonus when you went to the playoffs?
Some guys do, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it's a pretty prescribed thing now, I think. Yeah. And so it's like you get $75,000, you get $150,000 if you win the divisional round, and then you get $200,000 when you win the conference championship. And then if you win the Super Bowl, you get another $250,000, whatever. The playout games, give those guys on those rosters $50,000 apiece. The whole thing is they want to make this thing interesting for TV. And you might say to yourself, nah, I don't want to see those again. Yes, you do. If there is, oh, here's an even better thing. Scott, hold the phone.
Hang up.
Gosh dang it. We see, this is good brainstorming while we're doing this. Okay? The games, it's not that important. Okay? It's not that important for the drum roll. But what are we used to now? I've been begging for a Friday game. We get Thursday games already.
Right.
The playoffs bring us Saturday games.
Yes.
So give me a Thursday, Friday for your first two playout games.
Right.
For the first two rounds of the actual playoffs, too.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday the next week, you have your second. You have your second portion of it, right? Or is there a second portion?
You make more. You have more teams. You don't.
Okay,
just
you have more teams.
Pool.
So two Thursday, Fridays, and now we've added a Monday game to the playoffs, right? I don't remember which week it is. The first one.
Yeah.
You could that first weekend of the playoffs and playouts. Sounds so stupid. The first week of the play-ins and playouts. Hear me out. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, NFL playoffs and playouts. You're welcome. NBA, you're welcome. That's 5 days in a row of football, of NFL football in the latter part of the season. And then that week between, you have to, that garbage week to wait for the Super Bowl, you get an actual game where teams are playing for that number one draft pick. Let's freaking do it. Okay? Gosh, I'm going nuts here. See, Scott, we can solve the world's problems here.
Done.
We can figure it out. Let's take the break here.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the NFL Roundup right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone of The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. It's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, or I guess as the promo says, Scott Mitchell and the other guy. I'll be the other guy. Scott, the NFL Roundup today brought to you by the good folks at Davis Vision. Time to ditch those glasses and contacts. Call Davis Vision today. Ask for the spring special. Save up to $1,000 if you qualify. Call Robin. To see if you do, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Check them out online, DavisVisionMD.com. That's DavisVisionMD.com. Roger Goodell says he's not aware of any of the owners trying to get together to force out Daniel Snyder. I know that he is not aware of it, but, I mean, obviously the owners, it's got to be a group of 24 owners.
I'm calling BS on this.
Oh, on Roger Goodell? You think Roger Goodell's not telling the truth? What?
No, he's like, it's probably one of those things where first of all, he's the commissioner. He knows everything. He's not in the dark on any of this. And I'm sure that there's probably been discussion. And it's probably one of those things if you're the owners where you go, Who can I trust? Who can I trust to kind of start this mutiny? And they probably are going around to their buddies and saying, look, Snyder's got to go. How are we going to get him out? And who are the people that are going to boycott us on this? Or who are the people that are going to, you know, balk at this? And let's work with the ones we can, and let's figure out how to convince the other ones that they need to come on board. And I'm sure a lot of these discussions are very hush-hush and private and whatever. But Goodell's going to know about it. There's no way he's not going to not know about it.
If you're getting $60 million a year, you better know about it. I mean, this deals with
Is he getting $60 million now?
Yeah, well, that's the report, right?
Oh.
I mean, it was 52 years ago.
I think in a next life, I want to.
You want to be an NFL?
I want to be the NFL commissioner.
Look, the guy gets to go to whatever NFL game he wants, and he gets paid $60 million.
I think commissioners are just weird in general, aren't they? Just weird,
like Adam Silver. You go, yeah. I mean, he studied under the tutelage of David Stern forever.
Who
right?
was weird? I mean, they're all weird. They're just weird.
No, I know. And then like Roger Goodell, what was his thing? Well, he studied under Paul Tagliabue for all that time. He learned the ins and outs of flying around to football games and watching them, watching the hell out of football games. Look, I'm there.
I like Pete Rozelle.
Did you have to, like, in Adam Silver's case, I think he's a lawyer. Like, and, that's his background. I don't know what Roger Goodell does.
I think they're all lawyers.
Too.
I think they're all attorneys.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. It wasn't $60 million a year.
Was it 50?
It's $64 million a year, Scott.
Oh, $64 million. Well, then that's
during
okay.
the owner's meeting, in, Scott, and that was just for 2020, 2021. During an owner's meeting in New York in 2019, 2020, they voted for his salary for 2020, 2021, 2021, 2022 to $128 million for those 2 years. I don't know what. Why is he worth that? How is that worth anything? The guy who, that's $25 million more than the quarterbacks in your league make.
Yeah, but he has to make those tough decisions.
Oh, by the way, he does have,
like, Deshaun Watson's issue is it's kind of a tough one.
The NFL also provides him with a company jet anytime, anywhere, any place
for anything. Or just assuming. Or just company business.
No questions asked. There you go. Boy, would you rather be Roger Goodell or Roger Goodell? I'm trying to think of a – I can't think of a better gig.
He's got a good thing going.
That's why – listen, when you get booed every time you go up to the podium at the draft, would you take $64 million a year to get booed at every pick of the draft for as long as you live? Yes.
Be happy to. And smile.
I get booed and don't get money.
Yeah. You know, you know it bothers him, though. You know it bothers Goodell because he kind of jokes about it, and it really does get under his skin.
Do you think so? Do you think his ego's that big?
I do, yeah.
I think, like, Jerry Jones is the same way, right?
Yeah.
Like, Jerry Jones, if he gets booed, he's like, what's the problem here? I mean, I'm out here trying to get the Cowboys going, getting wins. Jerry Jr., what are they booing me for? All right. What's up next on the old NFL Roundup? Oh, Zach Wilson. According to Robert Saleh, his head coach there in New York, the Jets' second-year quarterback, former BYU standout, is apparently making big strides. I don't know if I believe that from Robert Saleh.
Well,
and what can you even freaking make in,
well,
in,
I'll tell you
in
what,
May?
Scott. I'll tell you the strides. Zach Wilson's gotten heavy. He's now at 221 pounds from 208.
But not chubby, right?
No, it's all good weight.
Did you see Mac Jones reported to camp? He's like super skinny, and everyone's like, "What are you doing?" And he said that at Alabama, or just now in the pros, as he got into his first year in the pros, he finally learned about nutrition and his body and putting the right things in his body.
Wow,
how do you learn that? How do you not learn that?
Have you ever been in the South? do you understand how they cook things in the South? In a big old pot of grease.
I know, but these guys go to Alabama knowing that they're trying to get to the NFL, so they're treated like NFL guys.
No, they take things like that are healthy, like vegetables, and they deep fry.
Scott, you and I, as a point of
the deep fry,
as a point of ritual, we go to a barbecue place here locally when we go to the warehouse on Fridays. That's where we show prep.
Yes.
What do I get as my side every time?
Okra.
I get the okra.
Get from the South.
And what do they do?
It's deep fried.
It's fried.
Yeah. Look.
Someone goes, oh, you're getting the healthy thing? Yeah, I'm frying up the – and okra has a little bit of that booger consistency in the middle of it. Don't care.
Yeah, see, I don't want to
I grew up on the okra,
man. I can't eat okra.
We grew it in our backyard in Texas. And I'd eat it, and it would just – and it was just – it's slimy.
Can't eat it.
Good stuff, man.
It's just got a bad name, too. Okra.
Okra.
Oh,
fried okra.
Look, Zach Wilson, and I think this is a good thing, and Zach Wilson, you know, talking about having more stamina.
Stanimo is a friend of yours,
stanima,
right?
Stanimo.
Got some stanima. No, you can't say it.
No, stanima is like it's like one of those sugar replacements, you know? I put stanima in my...
I put stanima in it, yeah, you know.
Yeah. Makes it taste sweet. I can eat okra with stanima.
Some stanima on it?
Yeah, sure.
Doctors say don't use too much stanima as it could cause some diarrhea.
So, well, I could
side effects include.
I could use that too. I'm a little backed up.
Don't use stanima if you're pregnant or maybe come pregnant. I always love that.
So, Zach, we seem to forget this. It's 6'3.
And he's legit. Like, I stand next to him, and I'm like, oh.
But he feels like he's petite. You know, he feels like this shorter player. I don't know what it is.
It's because of that baby face look.
It is. It's a lot of it. But adding just a little bit of extra weight for him is not going to hurt him at all. Because the thing with him is, you know, it's all about being healthy and staying healthy and being able to take shots in the NFL. And we'll see if it plays out. You know,
isn't that funny? There we go. Yeah, he was 208, but now he's 221. Now he's getting serious. He's put on 12 pounds. He's put on 13 pounds. He's serious, okay? Next up on the old NFL roundup here, Scott. Tampa Bay linebacker Devin White says Super Bowl or bust for the Buccaneers this year.
Well, they certainly know how to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And I think they were a team that goes, look, we lost to the Rams.
By a skosh.
Yeah, who won the Super Bowl. And there's really no reason why we can't be one of those teams that's there. The fact that Brady came back, I'm sure if Tom Brady hadn't come back, I don't think they're saying that same tune.
Tampa Bay wins 2 out of 3 years of Super Bowl. It would just be impossible for you to tell me that Tom Brady isn't the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well, I think you're saying that now.
I think people have already said it, yes. But there are people
the thing I like about...
We always go, yeah, but he doesn't have that... The arm strength isn't the greatest. He's old. He's never been
athletic. And,
yes.
But that's what I love about Tom Brady, is Tom Brady has done the thing that you're supposed to do as a quarterback, and that's make good decisions and throw the ball at the right place at the right time. And he does that, and he's done that better than anyone. And he's a fiery competitor. And he's one of those guys that makes the people around him better. You've seen that in Tampa Bay. You saw that with the Patriots, and that's just a special player that can do that.
Scott, I always love these stories. The quarterback story. It's Jordan Love, local connection, former Aggie. Jordan Love is taking first-team reps for the Green Bay Packers during OTAs, which, of course, means nothing when it's OTAs and the obvious starting quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. Are first-team reps and OTAs really first-team reps, Scott? Of course not.
Reps are reps, right? And anytime you can get those reps, especially when you're a guy who hasn't got a lot of them, I mean, you really take them. But reps really aren't all equal, right? They're just not. Reps under pressure in a game that matters, those are the best reps. That's the best way to learn, is through that game experience, having to make decisions at game speed. Can't replicate it, certainly in an OTA in a pair of shorts. You just can't. But it is a rep, and there's some value. And if I'm Jordan Love, I'm finding every opportunity I can to take as many reps as I possibly can so that when I do get in the game, I play at a much more efficient level than I've shown so far.
First-team reps in OTAs with a bunch of other first-team guys who will not be on the first team when the season rolls around.
Reps are reps.
Fine. All right, let's take the break. We'll come back. When we return, we've got our two-minute drill here. Hey, the Jazz, just minutes ago, revealing what their summer workouts are going to be, their pre-draft workout guys are going to be. A couple of recognizable names on there. We'll share that with you next. Stay with us on Rival Continues, 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Best movie is, Scott, that actually portrays sports in the best, like actual. We talked about how Ted Lasso, the soccer end, is bad.
It's not any given Sunday for sure.
Any given. See, but you're not a good person to ask about the NFL because.
Oh no, there's North Dallas 40.
Real football.
That was what the NFL is about.
So. Yeah, I'm trying to think about like movies that had actual good sports being played in it where I was like, oh yeah, that guy's good. I can't, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Ted Lasso is terrible. Friday Night Lights, I always hated. The hits that they do on Friday Night Lights, it's those football hits where somebody gets hit and they spin in the air. They're like a helicopter.
Right.
Every hit. And back then, there's no penalty for it, right? So there you go. Anyway, I'm just trying to think of what, of movies that actually portrayed really, really good sports. Like, oh, man, that's elite level. I think that Kevin Costner thinks that his that the baseball's really good in every movie that he does. He's like, oh, yeah, look at my arm, man. Look how good I am.
Major League?
Give him the heater, Ricky.
I like the one where Baltimore.
I will tell you,
just a bit outside.
Yeah, yeah. And Euchre, you know, he's a real, he's a real guy. But the thing about the, I think about those baseball movies, Major League, Charlie Sheen, like he looked like he knew how to throw a baseball
because he did,
and you're like, that guy throws a baseball,
yeah.
And I'm just bumped so hard. I have the hardest time buying into your movie.
Well, he certainly wasn't a good actor. He should have been a baseball player.
I just have the hardest time when a movie rolls out and they show like a guy doing something and I go, ugh. Or they say terms that aren't actually used or the guys on the, you know, I have a real hard time following the movie. I can't get into it. I have to just like really suspend that disbelief. All right, let's fire up the old music here. Final segment of this hour, always the two-minute drill. Scott, the two-minute drill brought to you by the folks at Wasatch Front Kia, the Memorial Day tent sale, Thursday through Monday. That's tomorrow. We're going to be out there tomorrow up on Riverdale Road there at the Wasatch Front Kia. Don't miss the all-new redesigned 2023 Sportage, 0% for 72 months. When the tents go up, the prices go down. Ninth annual Wasatch Front Kia Memorial Day tent sale. 770 West Riverdale Road in Ogden, Wasatch Front Kia. Scott.
Kia, Kia, Kia.
Oh, boy. My kid will sing it to me all day.
Yeah.
49-year-old Bartolo Colon wants another chance at the Mets. Now, here's the thing about older guys trying to get back into their profession.
This is a two-minute drill, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Scott, please explain what the two-minute drill is.
I'm glad you brought it up, Alex.
We don't have enough time, actually.
All right. Well, let me tell you really quickly. Late in a football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about. Not a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. Finish the show. Go home happy with a trophy, because everyone gets a trophy these days. Everyone hugs, and, you know, they're happy. You get a plethora of desserts that include chocolate souffle, donuts, sex in a pan. That's a dessert. And no Sam Farnsworth candy. Oh, that's a trifle, right? Better known as a trifle.
Yeah, I've never called it the other thing. It's always only been the trifle.
Well, you're missing out.
Just because I call it something different? Right. I'm going to make a trifle. I'm not going to bring you any.
I'm actually going to make it. Fine. I'll make one for our little company event watching.
Ooh, I put the... Yeah. Did I send that email out?
I don't know. I never got an email.
No, we're trying to figure out if we're going to have this. I'm going to send it out right now. Just make sure I include everybody on this list here. We're just trying to get the Top Gun Maverick movie going. Jeremy, you're on the list. Okay, you made it. Good job. I have all the shows and their producers. Do we invite sales guys? Jeremy's all, don't ask me that on the air. Everybody gave him the same look. I don't know. I'm just seeing, you know?
No.
Yeah, Scott says no. Do we invite the boss? Do we invite Nate?
No.
I put him on the list.
Shoot.
Because he won't go.
But he'll feel...
He'll feel sad if we don't invite him.
All right.
So I just know what's going to happen. But it's going to be on him. All right. What were we talking about?
Two-minute drill.
49-year-old Bartolo Colon says he wants to get back into playing baseball. The thing is Bartolo Colon looks like me. And so you can't have a gut. Like, he was a chubby dude when he was, like, kind of...
Some of the best pitchers are... They can do that
little bit,
if he's
little
a pitcher.
Bit, pudgy?
Well, even if he... You'd be a DH.
No, I mean, he still was not a great hitter. But if he did get a hold of it sometimes... My favorite thing was these guys, his buddies in the league would get at him because he'd tuck his shirt and his belly would kind of hang over that belt, and they'd run past him and they'd untuck his shirt. And he would make, he would get so mad. Bartolo Colon, don't do that. What are you doing? Guess his logo. So Bartolo Colon, 49 years old. You're not Tom Brady, dude. You haven't really been living the Tom Brady lifestyle. I don't know what Bartolo Colon looks like now, but I'm assuming it's not the most svelte version of Bartolo Colon. But there you go. Maybe he still has the stuff. Ichiro threw a first pitch out the other day, and he threw it 95 miles an hour.
What?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's get this guy going. Jalen Rose put his votes out there for who he had for his All-NBA team, and he had a one of the more head-scratching votes in the All-NBA team. He gave Kyrie Irving third-team All-NBA. Only media person to do it, and not anywhere close to where anybody had him, but there you go.
Yeah, horrible.
They have all the voters and all their selections on there, and he was absolutely the third team. He was Jalen Rose's pick for third team.
You got to play.
If you look at all the voters, Rudy Gobert's name comes up every so often there. He's on that list for that third team across some of these. So
I could see that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So not everybody hated on Rudy by not voting him in, but the vast majority, I mean, there's probably just a couple of people who voted for Rudy Gobert. Yeah, I'm only seeing his name on the third team. It looks like, I'd probably say a quarter of the time compared to Karl Anthony Towns. He probably was the fourth team guy, though. Him and Bam Adebayo. So there you go.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Y'all ready? This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. Unrivaled, final segment of the program. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on the show. Scott, we've solved a lot of the world's problems today.
Yes.
Or at least a lot of the sports world's problems.
Yeah.
We can't help everybody. And heaven knows there's lot of issues out there, yes. And we wish we could solve all of them. But here we are doing our radio show, talking about sports. Speaking of giving peace a chance, since that's what we were talking about on the break here. Mike Tyson, you remember last month, video was released of him beating the heck out of a guy on an airplane. Now, the video also showed the guy bothering the heck out of Mike Tyson.
Right.
We got an official explanation today. Mike Tyson, this is really official, and it's also, you know, I think people wanted to know.
Succinct and to the point?
Right, maybe? To the point. He said, because he revealed exactly what happened. The guy was blanking with me. That's it. That's all I need to know.
End
from
of discussion.
Mike Tyson. Yeah, just
here's the thing. Drunk or not, like if you're gonna annoy someone,
first of all,
yeah, you never annoy anyone in general. But if you're going to annoy someone, why in the world would you do that to Mike Tyson, who's known to bite people's ears off? I mean, this is not only
he plays dirty with all the cameras on.
I don't know that he is like maybe the most stable person in the world. Like this guy could go, you know, crazy on you in a New York minute. You know, this guy's like, you know, just irritate him slightly, and he's not going to be like posturing with you. He's going to be punching you. It just seems so idiotic for someone to actually say. Yeah, and it's just an idiot that just like, oh man, I was antagonizing Mike Tyson. I really got under his skin.
He was really cool,
you know. And I think our world gets used to this whole social media and this ability to kind of like make comments and throw them out there like there's no consequence to it. And then all of a sudden you actually face the person face to face, and you still have that mindset. And it's just stupid.
Literally poking the bear. I guess figuratively, since Mike Tyson's not a bear.
And I thought Mike Tyson's become more of a teddy bear. You know?
I know. Like people are drawn to the guy now. The dude's a convicted felon, and here we are like, aw, isn't he cute?
All right. You remember when he was married to Robin Gibbons?
Yes.
That was really interesting.
Weird. All right. We're taking the break. We'll be back again tomorrow. For Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, our producer Jeremy hitting all the buttons. We'll be back again tomorrow, 97.5 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.